The Gospel of John, chapter 12, and we will be starting at verse 1. John 12, starting at verse 1, I'll be reading from the New International Version, and it reads this way. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will not always have the poor, or you will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you think you can put a value on the life of a person, but Forbes magazine thinks you can. There are many people who are worth a lot of money. According to Forbes, Floyd Mayweather this past year in 2015 was worth approximately $300 million in the past year. That was what, if you remember his fight with Manny Pacquiao, that was from the receipts that they had made that year, and plus his endorsement deals that he had signed that year and all that kind of stuff. Manny Pacquiao was the second most valuable athlete in the world. He was at $160 million. So not quite as good as Floyd, but he did all right. And the third highest paid athlete in the world was Cristiano Ronaldo from Real Madrid. He's a soccer player, and he is worth, currently in this past year, he was worth $80 million in 2015. $80 million for a guy who can kick a ball around a soccer field. This is what we've been reduced to. But maybe you're not a sports guy. By the way, I have a friend who says all sports can be reduced to three things, right? Put the thing in the thing. I can do it better than you. I can do it faster than you. That's all sports. Comes down to those three things. It's one of those three things. So maybe you're not a sports person like some of my friends, but maybe you like movies. Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., he made $80 million last year. And this one surprised me. The next highest paid actor on the list, Jackie Chan, at $50 million. Apparently, he did a movie in China that past year. And so because it was in Chinese, because that's a huge movie market, he made $50 million. Jennifer Lawrence made $52 million. Scarlett Johansson made $35 million, rather. And this doesn't even include Bill Gates, who remains the richest man in the world. They just came out with the 2016 figures at Forbes magazine, and he's at a net worth of $75 billion. After all, we are using his products here, so this doesn't surprise me in the slightest. $75 billion that he's worth. And in case you're wondering, you too have a net worth. Stats Canada has calculated the net worth of the average Canadian. The average Canadian, and remember, when we include your net worth, this includes your land, this includes the value of your home, these kinds of things, okay? So don't forget about that. The average net worth of the average Canadian, $500,000, $50,000. So $550,000. I mispronounced that. That's how much the average Canadian is worth. I don't know where you fall in that category. We're not quite there yet, I know that. But, you know, we are all, you know, we could put a number on what people are worth, whether you agree with the ethics of that or not. The reality is that in the eyes of the world, we're worth something. We have a value and a worth. And the reality is that even though we may not feel like we have a lot of money, the majority of us, really, if you own a home, you have accumulated, just by owning that home, a large degree of wealth. And everyone still feels like we need money. We have different needs for it and different goals for it, but the reality is that all of us just need that one more thing and then we'll truly be happy, right? The latest issue of Batman, for example. The iPhone, or the greatest, or I just got the Samsung Galaxy S6, and they have just come out with the Samsung Galaxy S7 here. It's coming out here. Everyone wants the latest, greatest thing. Some of our spending is frivolous. Some of it is good, and some of it is absolutely necessary, right? You need to spend money or you're not going to be able to eat, right? Money is important. But one question that I don't often hear asked in our society and culture at large is, what is money for? What is money for? We assume that we know what it's for. We assume that we know what money is about. We assume that we have the right purposes and the right ideas and the right goals in mind when we talk about money. But let's see how Jesus values money. Today we're going to observe how two people use their resources and what Jesus thought of that. So again, if you're not in John 12, turn with me there. And as we enter into this, we have entered into the final week of Jesus' life. It's 6 days before the Passover. This is likely the Saturday before he rides into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday that we will be celebrating next week. And as he's there, we are told that Jesus has gone and is at a feast where Lazarus is present. If you aren't familiar with the story of Lazarus, check out chapter 11. But just to give you the Coles Notes version, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus raised him from the dead. And in the process, he said this to Lazarus' sisters. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." In John chapter 11, verse 25. "I am the resurrection and the life." This is what he said to Mary and to Martha, Lazarus' sisters. And so Lazarus had been raised from the dead, and when something like this happens, you celebrate. And this is exactly what is going on in the case of Jesus. Look at verse 2. "Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him." If you don't know, back in this day, they didn't sit at a table. They found couches and they reclined there. So you actually kind of, you know, sat on your side while you ate your meal with your hands. I know, it's kind of gross to us now, but that's sort of how it worked back then. So Lazarus is there. Martha is helping put on this amazing feast in honor of Jesus and raising Lazarus from the dead, because they are just so thankful to have their brother back, and quite possibly thankful because he may have been their source of security and their source of income. And so they are just so incredibly thankful. And then we find this in verse 3. "Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard." That's about a pop can, okay? So when you have a can of Coke this afternoon, that is about the size of what she would have had. To give to Jesus. And this perfume, it's actually spikenard, and it's expensive perfume, and it came from India, so this is why it's expensive. We don't know where they got it from. We don't know if it was a family heirloom or if it was just something that they had that they gathered money together and were giving it in honor of Jesus. We don't know what it was. But we do know, according to the text, if you look down in verse 5, Judas tells us it was worth a year's wages. The Greek says 300 denarii. A denarius was worth a day's wages, okay? So for 12 hours of work, you would get paid one denarius, okay? So I did some math this week, okay? And I said, well, if someone was getting paid minimum wage for 300 days work at, $10.50 an hour for 12 hours, what would they make? The value of what Mary gave to Jesus, what she poured out on his feet, was $38,000. $1,000 and she takes what is extremely valuable by anyone's standard in the day, and she takes it in a moment of worship, in a moment of the value that she feels for Jesus because of what he has done for her brother. She pours it out on his feet. $38,000 gone in an instant on the feet of Jesus. How valuable is Jesus to you and I? For Mary, it wasn't just that Jesus was worth the $38,000 in perfume, but what she does is she undoes her hair, which in the culture at the time was an extremely, almost erotic thing to do. It was looked down upon if a woman was to undo her hair and let it down. And she wipes the feet of Jesus with her hair. Now understand that Jesus would have been walking down muddy, dusty roads that would have had animal feces covering and littering those roads. But Jesus is so valuable to her, so precious to her, that she undoes her hair and wipes the feet of Jesus with her hair. How valuable, how great, how marvelous is Jesus? How much is he worth to us? Jesus just simply brought Mary's brother back for a few more years, and then he would die again. Lazarus isn't with us today. How much more valuable should Jesus be to us when we consider that in six days before the Passover, Jesus is going to be arrested? He is going to be tried. He is going to be crucified for Mary's sin, for Lazarus' sin, for Martha's sin, and for your sin, and for my sin. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus is going to purchase for us eternal life, true life, the life that we have always longed for. How valuable should Jesus be to us? The life of her brother was worth more than her dignity, more than Mary's dignity, and worth more than $38,000 in Mary's estimation. And if the Son of God, who has bought us by his blood, how much more valuable should that be to us as his people? It is immeasurable. It is incalculable. We cannot simply come to Jesus and just simply see him as just someone who we serve. No, no. Jesus is the most valuable person that you could ever possibly spend your life on. Every year, on November 11th, we celebrate people who gave their lives for this country. Obviously, we live near a military base, and we honor every November 11th men and women who give their lives on behalf of their country. For a day, the country stops to remember the valuable sacrifice of those who have fought on our behalf, for those who have purchased with their own lives our freedom and the ability to be able to enjoy our lives without having to worry about people coming and attacking us in our own homes. We take a day, but yet we have a God who has given us eternity. He has given us days and days for eternity to be able to celebrate and to live in his presence forever. How much more if we are willing to celebrate the men and women who give their lives every year on November 11th, how much more should we be willing to celebrate the sacrifice of Christ and his glorious resurrection from the dead, which is why we celebrate on Sundays. We celebrate these things because that is what Jesus is worth. That is how valuable Jesus is.
So my question for us today is this: what do you love more than Jesus?
Martin Luther, and you've heard me say this before, said this: whatever your heart clings to and confides in, whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God, your functional Savior. Friends, what is your heart clinging to today? What is your heart finding its satisfaction in? If it is not Jesus, you are going to go down the road of Judas. Because if Mary showed her gratitude in that moment, Judas showed his greed in this moment. Notice verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who is later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." Now, this sounds like a good statement at face value. After all, Jesus loves the poor. All you have to do is read Matthew 25 or read the Sermon on the Mount to know that Jesus loves the poor, okay? But listen to the heart. John introduces us to the heart of the matter. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Judas wasn't interested in Jesus. He wasn't interested in the poor. He was interested in money. And this is one of the most frightening things in all of Scripture. Judas spent 3 years with Jesus. 3 years. And he couldn't see past this. He had the life that he always wanted sitting next to him for 3 years, hearing him teach, hearing him say all kinds of wonderful, glorious things, and he couldn't see Jesus, the life, the resurrection and the life, past the money that he thought would give him life. Friends, this is dangerous. You can spend your entire life in church. You can spend years in church and you can become completely blinded by whatever your God actually is. Jesus was there for 3 years and Judas couldn't see him as the life that he had always wanted, the resurrection and the life that he longed for. And during this week, you know what Judas is going to do? He's going to sell Jesus for 4 months' wages. He's going to sell him for $15,000, less than half of what that perfume was worth. He's going to sell Jesus. Because the reality is that Jesus wasn't his God. Money was. And friends, the Bible is quite clear that while we need money, the love of money, 1 Timothy says in chapter 6, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And Judas had Jesus before him and he traded him for nothing. Think about the advertising industry. What do they try to do? They try to get you to part with your money. What do they try to do? They try to tell you, if you buy this thing, you'll be happy. And I'm still waiting for, you know, when I'm looking at beer commercials and they basically tell me, I'm going to have a great time, I am going to have attractive women, and I am going to be extremely happy. I have yet to see alcohol provide that for anyone for an extended period of time. And yet, we continually think that if I buy this thing, if I buy this boat, if I buy this whatever, think about the thing that is on your heart that you want to buy, and you say, this will make me happy. This will make me enjoy my life more. And Jesus shows us from his word, this is not the case. Judas is going to go trade Jesus for $15,000. He's going to find it's worthless, and he's going to go kill himself in a week. That's my alarm. telling me I need to close this down. But let me tell you this. He is going to go, and he is going to kill himself in a week. And you may think that something that you are using and that you find extremely valuable will bring you life. My friends, if you do not know Jesus, it is going to kill you. It may not be in this life. But if we do not treasure Jesus, it will most certainly be in the next. The place that the Bible calls the second death. We cannot and must not trade Jesus for anything else. He is the most valuable person in all of creation, worth far more than Bill Gates. I don't know if you're familiar with Aesop's fables, but he tells a story of a dog who has grabbed a piece of meat, and he's going home and he's celebrating this piece of meat. And he's walking along a stream by a river, and he sees another dog with what he perceives to be a larger piece of meat. And so he goes and he attacks that dog to get this piece of meat. And what he finds out was that it was his own reflection in the mirror, or in the river, rather. It was his own reflection. And so when he goes to chase after this dog and steal his meat, he gets nothing but a mouthful of water, and his meat goes traveling down the river, and he loses the meat because of his greed. What's the point of the story? The point of the story is this. You and I may think that something out there will give you life, but what you will find is that not only will it take your life, but you'll lose whatever glory you had before. It will lose its shine. It will lose its value. You will miss out on the enjoyment of that beautiful piece of steak. And this is what Jesus points against. Because listen to what he says in verse 7. If Mary showed gratitude, and if Judas showed greed, Jesus shows his glory. He says, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. And in verse 8, what he does in the Greek, which is really interesting to see, is he says, me you will not always have. In other words, he puts himself at the front of the sentence and says, Judas, hear me. Leave her alone. You will always have opportunity to serve the poor. Jesus loves the poor. He calls us to serve the poor constantly. But Judas sees money as a means to life. And Jesus says, Judas, I am the life. Me, you will not always have. Because he's about to die. And he says, Judas, me, you will not always have. You had better be ready, Judas. Because I know what you're going to do. So the question that we must ask is, with the resources that God has given to us, with the money that we have, what are we doing with it? The book of Romans says, my brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of what Jesus has done for us, his death and resurrection on the cross, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper act of worship. In everything we do, in everything we say, we need to do this for the glory of God. This is why God has given us money. Not so we can spend it frivolously on ourselves, but so that we can invest it in things that will bring God glory. I came across an interesting man by the name of Bob Walker. He owns a small business in Fort Collins, Colorado. He serves about 155 people. And he tells this wonderful story about his business. He says, you can say you've only got 155 people here, and that's not a very big deal. But keep in mind, when you trace it out, all the suppliers, all the customers, all the people that are touched by what we do here, thousands of people are fed or have some part of their livelihood connected to this company, which I believe is the way that God's kingdom is supposed to operate. He had this business
for many years. Basically, they're a lawnmower. It's a lawnmower. He says, we make beautiful places. And it's a wonderful business, but in 2009, of course, things got difficult. The economy went down, and people weren't interested in buying lawnmowers, and he had to lay some of his workers off, and it looked like he was going to have to go through a second round of layoffs. And one of the guidelines that Bob has for his business is this: we love people and use money rather than love money and use people. We love people and use money rather than love money and use people. And so what he did was he went out into the community and saw the work that needed to be done, and he gave his employees, he basically said to his employees, go out, work for the day in the community, serve them, fix up their houses, fix up their lawns, let's make some beautiful spaces. And while they lost money, these men and women were able to keep their jobs. And they made it through the economic downturn, and by the time they got to 2014, they had made their money back. Because Bob Walker knew, and we as Christians know, those of us who know Jesus know, we need to truly love Jesus rather than our money. We need to love people rather than our money. This is why God has given us money. Not so that we can love other people, or not so that we can love ourselves, but so that we can love others and so that we can love him. So my friends, what resources has God given you this day to bless Dundurn with? What resources has he given you to bless your family and your friends? I've been told that the way you can tell what a man's true God is to look at his budget, to look at what he spends his money on. And this would be my encouragement to you. Consider your budget this week. Consider, how are you using your money to the glory of God? How are we using our time? My friends, people say time is money, and they are correct. How are we using our time? How are we using our money? How are we using the resources and the breath that God has given to us to love him? Because Jesus is more valuable than anything else in the world. And my friends, you cannot waste your life spending it all on Jesus. You can waste your life spending it all on yourself. I guarantee you that. You will not waste your life spending it on Jesus. And my friends, if you do not know Jesus today, you need to come. You need to set your God aside, whether it's money, whether it's sex, whatever it is. Throw it away and come spend your life on Jesus, because there is nothing worth more than him. Let us pray together. Our Father, how valuable is the cross? Our worth is not in what we own, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. We do not deserve this love. God, how easily we would have traded you like Judas for $15,000. How easily we could have done that. God, reveal to us the things that we love more than you. And God, may we truly come to love you more and more each day. May our budgets and the use of our resources reflect what you have done in our lives. And we pray this all in your mighty and precious name that saves us from our sin and from our greed. Amen. And now, friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.